Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
That opposition to abortion and euthanasia, it runs against the politically correct zeitgeist, so to speak. And so we are feeling tremendous pressure now.
And like so many faiths, Islam is rooted in a commitment to compassion and mercy and justice and charity.
Even Luther was not always Luther at Worms. That is, he was not in a position like this every day of his life.
So our hearts are with Jesus when his word is in our ears, on our minds, and on our tongues.
In 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play those four soundbites, and then you call, you send an email, you send a tweet, or you vote at our Facebook fan page, and your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to be talking with Chris Roseborough about a prophecy claiming that if the Carolina Panthers win the Super Bowl, God will release revival. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us every week. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Before we get into this Super Bowl prophecy, just a quick update, if you would, on former Mars Hill megachurch vision casting leader Mark Driscoll.
Yeah, he has announced officially that he will be starting what he is calling the Trinity Church in Phoenix, Arizona. And what I think is fascinating about all of this is that the announcement was made via a video on his website, his personal website, markdriscoll.com. And there was no mention of any of the reasons why he ended up leaving ministry in the first place or any mention of what had happened at Mars Hill. Although earlier last year at the Hillsong Conference, Mark Driscoll did claim that that the elders and the leadership of Mars Hill were going to discipline him, that they had found reason to discipline him, and they had put forward a plan by which he would have been removed from the pulpit and had outlined steps that he needed to go through in order to be restored to ministry. And Mark Driscoll claimed to receive a direct revelation from God himself telling him that the plan that the leadership of Mars Hill had put in place was a trap and that that God himself was releasing him from ministry. So Mark Driscoll literally became what I'm calling a fugitive from church discipline, packed up his family in the Mars Hill bus, figuratively speaking, and moved everybody down to Phoenix, Arizona. And now he is literally, and there is no other way to describe this, but he is literally restoring himself to pastoral ministry. And he's doing this on his own recognizance, doing this on his own claim that he's ready to return to ministry. And it's fascinating to note that even the people of Phoenix, there's a news story that was run this week on the CBS News affiliate in Phoenix, and the secular world is not thrilled with the idea that Mark Driscoll is going to be starting a new church in their neck of the woods. So, yeah, that's the latest on Mark Driscoll.
The subject of our conversation today, this prophecy claiming that a Carolina Panthers win will trigger God's revival. We're going to hear a little bit of it. What should we be listening for here?
Well, let's talk about who we're going to be hearing this from so that people understand that this is not some kind of crackpot person who has a YouTube channel and only has five listeners. The person we're going to be listening to is a royalty within the charismatic movement. His name is Rick Joyner, and the prophecy he's going to be discussing is regarding a prophecy from another person who is royalty within the charismatic and Pentecostal movements, and that is Bob Jones. And the first soundbite is him basically talking about this prophecy that's been around for a little bit of time now regarding the Carolina Panthers and the implication that it has prophetically for the whole world, if you would.
Welcome to Prophetic Perspectives on Current Events. And we have so many things happening, as usual, and that's why it is so great to do a program on this theme, current events, and what do these events mean? But one of the things I have gotten so many emails on and so many requests on Facebook and other social media to address was, you know, the prophecy that Bob Jones had, a prophetic friend of ours who lived here for over 20 years, and a real part of our ministry, who's now gone to be with the Lord, but he's still speaking from some of his other prophecies. And we have so many. I mean, we could, I mean, talk for days just on the way so many of the words he had were fulfilled, came to pass specifically just as he saw them. And, you know, a lot of our ministry was built on it, but one thing, there are a number of things. Of course, he spoke into the international body of Christ. He spoke to world leaders. He, you know, he had quite a remarkable ministry. But one of the things that was directly related to our city, but also I think reflects on the whole nation, the U.S. especially, was that when our Carolina Panthers won the Super Bowl, that this is a time when, you know, major revival, awakening, moves of God are going to break out in America.
Okay, take that apart for us, if you would, Chris.
Yeah, okay. First of all, pay attention to the fact that he's got a completely different source of revelation that he's operating from and pointing people to. He's not pointing people to Scripture. He's not somebody who believes in sola scriptura, as confessional Lutherans do. Instead, he is a man who believes that he can and has received direct revelation from God, and that God is revealing new things that apparently that he is up to in the world, and they basically claim that, you know, God isn't going to do anything without first revealing it to his prophets. This is how they talk. And so Rick Joyner, talking about the late Bob Jones, is referring to a prophecy that Bob Jones gave that basically has everybody taking their eyes off of Scripture and what Scripture says, and now trying to prophetically interpret current events, including sporting events. And these are supposedly signs of what it is that God is going to be doing next. And it's a fascinating study, if you would, on what we Lutherans talk about in our confessions. It's called enthusiasm, or God within-ism. And this is a prime example of it that takes our eyes off of Christ, takes our eyes off of making disciples by teaching what Christ has commanded in the written word of God, and having people kind of trying to figure out, you know, the divine tea leaves of current events, including sporting events.
So what's next?
Okay, next we're going to hear details, the actual details of supposedly what's going to take place if on Sunday the Carolina Panthers win the Super Bowl.
And so we knew there was a prophetic destiny to this team. And afterwards, Bob got many other details about this. And some other people did too that I thought were remarkable and accurate, how many of the ups and downs that this team would go through would be teachings for us, and the ups and downs that many in the body of Christ here are going through. And it's like some of the things that team was going through was absolutely incredibly accurate parallel of some of the things we were going through at times. And it was a teaching for us. So when they went to the Super Bowl once over 10 years ago, you know, we thought this is it. You know, revivals break out in America. Well, they didn't win. And listen, I'm doing this program before the Super Bowl. They haven't won it yet. But if they do, to me, it is a very definite marker of something remarkable breaking out. Now, Bob saw it breaking out in Charlotte. He also, and other prophetic friends of mine, And I myself was shown many of the stadiums being built for football teams, especially in America, were being built for revival. A lot of these stadiums are going to be filled with worshipers, with people seeking the Lord. That's when you may have heard some of these words, when the Lord showed us nameless, faceless people preaching. People wouldn't even know who they were, but they would be doing extraordinary miracles, have extraordinary messages, and then like disappear, fill stadiums, and then disappear. Nobody knows who they were. They were just gone, but it's going to be the Lord. The Lord's going to get the glory. There are going to be a lot of people like that, and there are going to be some who everybody knows who they are, some who don't function that way. But anyway, we were shown the stadiums are going to be filled in America with people seeking the Lord.
Okay, so I'm just trying to see if I can track with Joyner here. He's saying that the ups and downs of the Carolina Panthers football season was intended by God to teach lessons to Christians, and that eventual victory here will signal a revival in Christendom as well, and that the stadiums that have been built for NFL teams will be filled with revivals.
That is absolutely correct. And so we have a very specific prophecy now. You know, if the Carolina Panthers win on Sunday, then there's going to be very specific details. Football stadiums are going to be filled to capacity with people who are seeking the Lord because of this revival that is going to break out. But the more fascinating thing in all of that to me was the fact that he somehow thinks that the Christians there in his church and in the Carolinas were, God wanted them to look at the travails of the Carolina Panthers through their different seasons, the ups and the downs and the highlights and the lowlights, and see that as somehow prophetically paralleling the travails and the victories that they were experiencing as the body of Christ. I mean, this is just absolutely bizarre. But I want you to think about the implications of what he's saying now for those of you who plan on watching the Super Bowl on Sunday. And that is that if you are rooting for the Denver Broncos and pulling for Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos to beat the Carolina Panthers, you are literally rooting against the next big move of the Spirit. I mean, the question is, where are your allegiances? Is it to the kingdom of God and the next big thing that God's going to be releasing? Or is it to your favorite football team? Maybe you're a Denver Broncos fan. I mean, I happen to like Peyton Manning. And, I was rooting for Peyton Manning when he was the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. And now that he's gone on to Denver, I'm going to be pulling for Denver on Sunday. And I have to ask myself, am I sinning by doing that? Am I rooting against God and in some sense playing into what the devil would try to stop this revival from happening by rooting for the Broncos? I mean, the spiritual implications for now how you root for the Super Bowl teams is just absolutely profound. I mean, I don't know if I need to seek private absolution for rooting for the Denver Broncos this Sunday.
What about people like me? I mean, since it's all tied to the Carolina Panthers, apparently, in Joyner's mind, St. Louis lost its NFL team this year, and it was terrible for the last decade or so. Am I supposed to look at that and see something about what God is revealing in that erstwhile NFL team?
Clearly, I mean, Todd, you just have to stop looking at the scripture alone here and start reaching out with your heart and your feelings. I mean, clearly the travails of the St. Louis football team parallel the difficulties that the LCMS has been going through. Don't you understand that because you guys have lost your football team, that's probably a signal from God that the LCMS is going to explode? I mean, you just have to start learning how to prophetically interpret the signs of the times and stop thinking that God is speaking to us only through the written word. I mean, can't you see this? It's so obvious, Todd.
Okay, there's more. What's next?
Okay, next is another example of enthusiasm, if you would. And this comes from Bethel Church, another major flagship church in the charismatic movement, and an evangelist by the name of Georgian Bonhoff. And 2016, this happens to be the year of Jubilee, at least according to the current modern-day Jewish calendar. Nobody knows when the real year of Jubilee is anymore, but the Jews celebrate it this year. And this is an example of something that I'm seeing happening throughout the Charismatic movement as they're embracing the year of Jubilee and somehow declaring and decreeing things for themselves for this this year of Jubilee.
By the way, it's a grand jubilee year. This year is amazing. It's a 70th jubilee since Joshua crossed Jordan. 70th is pretty significant, and 40th since Jesus was baptized in Jordan River. 40th, it's pretty intense. So it's like releasing the captive, free bondages, death. Everything gets canceled in the Jubilee. Come on, I'm ringing Jubilee over you. All right, those who want to come to Israel or some of the other mission trips, we have India, we have Southeast Asia, Mozambique, Tijuana, everywhere. Just stand up if you want to go to a mission trip with us. I'll pray for you, and money's going to come. Expect money to come even tonight. By the time you sit down, somebody will tap you and say, I'm going to send you to go with Georgian, because like this happens all the time. So get ready to receive right now supernatural funding. Are you ready? So Father, right now, everyone that's standing is saying, Lord, send me. I want to go. And so Lord, right now we receive the supernatural financings from heaven for the missions, Lord. Full payment and extra money for chicken and for lamb and for shofars and souvenirs. Lord, I just pray extra money to give to somebody else, like extra cash to come to somebody else to go in Jesus' name. And everybody say, go, go, go. Woo! And Lord, I just pray for a breakthrough of all death cancellation. I just pray for death cancellation. So how many have a serious death you need canceled? Stand up, because I'm just going to pray for all death to be canceled. This is the authority of the Jubilee. This is God's will. God's will is not my will. It's not our will. It's His will for His people to be not financially enslaved by no one else. Every seventh year, deaths gets canceled. The 40th, the 50th is the Grand Jubilee. Woo!
All right, Chris, a peek into, someone would say, come on, we're talking about the lunatic fringe here. We're not talking about real pop American Christianity.
No, we are talking about real pop American Christianity. Bethel is not in the lunatic fringe. Bethel in Redding, California, and Bill Johnson are considered the mainstream of American evangelicalism now. That form of the charismatic movement has literally come into the center. And to question, to challenge, to critique Bethel Church in the evangelical way of thinking is to literally question God Himself and deny that God the Holy Spirit is working today. And yet, you know, this is not some extreme example of something crazy that like never happens at Bethel. This is the norm at Bethel. I mean, just absolute absurdity, all in the name of Jesus. And by the way, this is an example, what we just heard, this is an example of what it means in the Ten Commandments to take God's name in vain. Notice that Georgian Bonhoeff was saying, you know, this is God's will for you for the Jubilee. I'm declaring that you're going to get chickens and that you're have death canceled, although he means debt. That you're going to have these finances and shofars and money for souvenirs and all this kind of stuff. That this is God's will for you. This is an example of taking God's name in vain, literally hijacking the name of God and speaking things that are not His will to speak. And this is a very serious sin, because ultimately the person he's sinning against is God Himself. And sinning in a way, it's like, well, you claim to be speaking for God, but you haven't been giving any of these words. And so, I mean, this is serious error. And the fact that people take this seriously, that they believe that this is a legitimate move of the Spirit, that somehow this is what God wills for them to hear and to believe and to act on, is just an example of just how far from sola scriptura so much of evangelicalism has drifted, especially as the Pentecostal and the charismatic movements have gone from the fringe into the very center stream of evangelicalism.
Somebody says to you, look, Chris, I go to one of these churches, and I've seen over the last couple decades, it's definitely become less kind of mainstream evangelical, at least the way I used to look at it, and it's become more charismatic, and the pastor talks a lot about hearing from God, and he talks a lot about casting visions for the congregation, but we'll never go so far as this. What do you say?
If your pastor's already casting vision and from the pulpit, rather than preaching the written word of God, is preaching what he believes are direct revelations that he's receiving from God, you are only one step away, and I mean this, one step away from inviting somebody like Georgian Bonhoff to come and do this kind of nonsense in your church, because you've already abandoned the authority of the Word of God and supplanted it with a false authority, which you will not check because you believe that these people are actually hearing from God.
So just the simple pastor said, the Lord told me, and he can't show you chapter and verse for what the Lord allegedly told him, is on the exactly same, it's on the same continuum with what you hear and go, that can't be.
Yeah, no, this is, it not only is on the same continuum, you have to think of it like this way. Think of it like railroad tracks, all right? You know, you have a train going down the tracks, and they have on railroads, in order to change directions, what they do is they have these connector tracks. So somebody throws a switch, and then, you know, a train goes from one track to another. And once they switch to another track, they're heading towards a different destination. So when somebody from the pulpit says, God is saying this to me, and he starts preaching as if, you know, the revelation that he claims to have received in his heart is actually from God, and it has the same authority as the written word of God, that pastor has already switched tracks. He's on a different track. And even though it's going to take a while for the train to end up where Bethel is ended up, they're already on that track. It's just a matter of time as the train continues to progress down that track before they arrive at the same destination. It's inevitable.
Chris, before we let you go, what's on the docket tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Tonight we're going to be doing email, and we're going to be taking a listen to Joel Osteen's sister, Lisa Combs, as she talks about principles to apply to your life so that you can experience financial breakthrough.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. That's about 25 minutes from now at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to do a little of what we like to do on Friday afternoons as the program day winds down. That's Play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We got a soundbite from Dr. Donna Harrison on the Hippocratic Oath in Medicine. Soundbite on, well, it's actually President Obama, a little montage of some of the things he had to say at the Islamic Mosque earlier in the week. Basically says Islam isn't the problem, Islam is peace. We've heard presidents say that before. A soundbite from Dr. Ken Sherb, Do You Need to Be Luther at Worms? And soundbite number four, Pastor David Peterson, How Is Your Heart with Jesus? We'll be playing those soundbites for you on the other side of the break. And then, after you've listened to them, you give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and vote for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week, right after this.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
You can receive 50% off the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series during Logia's special Reformation Sale. Books like The Church by Professor Kurt Marquardt, Christology, Law and Gospel and the Means of Grace, and Baptism by Dr. David Scare, and Eschatology by Dr. John Stevenson. Browse before you buy at logia.org. You'll even find essays by Issues, etc., regular guests for as low as $2. Logia's Reformation Sale, logia.org, logia.org.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear Law and Gospel preaching and receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators, too, with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.